All right. Good morning, everyone.
We're gonna
do another class on the book of John. This morning we're looking into John chapter 17. So we're getting pretty close to the end of John here, and so that means we're getting closer to the story about the cross. And so in this chapter we're gonna see a prayer from Jesus. So let's see, get that started. Are we working? It was working earlier. Well, what's going to be up there is our theme scripture, which is John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. Unfortunately, I don't have it memorized, so I can't read it to you this time. with that theme scripture, we've got a couple of things that we were looking through in the book of John. I'm going to try resetting it. That usually works. Okay. So there's a couple of other themes we've been looking at in the book of John, which is a... thank you. Just in case. Which is the, you know, the seven public miracles that Jesus had, as well as the seven outrageous claims. So we've looked at all of those by now. We've gone through each one of those. And so there we go. Back to it. I'll give this guy his Bible back. All right. So, we've looked at those, and we've been able to see, you know, that by believing in those things, we can have life through Jesus Christ. So that's the purpose of the book of John. So now we're going to see a prayer that Jesus has, the whole thing in this one chapter, John chapter 17. So, in verses 1 through 5, we have Jesus praying for himself, and then 6 through 19, he prays for the disciples. And then the last few scriptures, the 20 to 26, he prays for all believers, which, in my opinion, is the cool one because it includes you and it includes me. But we're going to jump right in. Verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the one, only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the beginning of the world." So, to start off there, we look at a couple of things that Jesus prays to ask God for. The first thing is that God glorifies Jesus. And when I think about this, I kind of feel a little bit weird about it because if I was, you know, asking God to give me glory, it would feel a little prideful. It would feel like I'm trying to get somewhere that I don't belong or something like that. But the key here is how Jesus was asking for this. Jesus wasn't asking for this, for him to accomplish this himself. He wasn't asking God, you know, let me be awesome just in who I am and I'll figure it all out. No, he was trying to do it with God's plan. His purpose was to glorify God through being, you know, Jesus was glorified, which would then glorify God. So that was what he was trying to accomplish here, which is truly, you know, his purpose on the earth was to show us his glory. You know, going back to our theme scripture about, you know, having glory so that all people can believe in him and have eternal life. But one question is, you know, why are we reading this now? Why is this in the story, you know, in the book of John at this point? Why is he talking about that now? Why is he praying for that at this point? And that's because, like it says here, his hour had come. So if you remember back in earlier points in the book of John and maybe in some of the other Gospels, Jesus does a lot of actions and decides to do a lot of things because his time hadn't come yet. And so at this point, he's realizing that it has come. And now it's time to do the work of God. Back in, you know, in the other, you know, passage that I taught, there was even a scene where Jesus was tried to made king by force by the people. And so he decided because that time hadn't come yet that he was going to kind of sneak away, other than the fact that, you know, being king of those people and leading a revolt against the Romans wasn't really his purpose at all. But looking at a couple of scriptures to kind of talk about, you know, the time, the hour had come, We look at Mark 14:35, where he says, going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. So, you know, in this scene, Jesus is actually revealing, okay, that hour had come, and he wasn't completely prepared for it. He was kind of struggling with it a little bit. And, you know, realizing that is pretty important, you know, that Jesus didn't just kind of robot through life, you know, doing God's will. He had some struggles. He went back and forth with some things, just like you and I do. But in the end, he decided that doing God's will was the right way. And another scripture that we have, actually in the chapter just from last week, John chapter 16, verse 21 says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So this is what Jesus, you know, felt ultimately. He knew that his time had come for some pain that was going to happen in his life. It wasn't going to be easy to go to the cross and everything like that, but he knew that because of the joy set before him, that he was going to accomplish such a great thing for everyone, and he was ready to do that. He knew that his hour was now, and he was ready to act. So now we're going to move on to the next section where Jesus prays for the disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. So, the first thing that Jesus kind of, you know, gives us insight into is that we should know God through Jesus, that he wants to pray for his disciples. He knows that they have accepted this so far, but he also knows that his time is coming, so he's going to have to leave. He's going to have to go away. And so he has done everything he can to teach them, you know, who God is, because he is the one that knows who God is. And so in understanding that, he knows that this is very important, and he wants them to continue in that. He's praying to God, he's expressing to him, like, I've tried to do this so far, and they need to continue in that. I'm hoping that they will continue in that. And the way they can do that is through obeying his word. So he's grateful that they've accepted so far his words, you know, especially in times where they were doubting and times where they wanted to go in a different direction. Jesus was able to give them that direction and be like, okay, guys, like, look into your hearts. Here's what I'm trying to teach you. But now he's going away. And so he's praying, you know, God, help them in this time of need, because he knows, you know, that he's going to be gone and they're not going to be able to rely on him with that physical presence and giving them help. But he knows that through a connection with God through him, that they will have that in the future, and they can learn from that. And so another thing that they can do that's a big theme in John chapter 17 is imitating Jesus's relationship with God. And so what they're able to do here is Jesus has this deep connection with God, and he really wants that for the disciples. He wants them to have that same deep connection with God, and that's what he's trying to pass on to them, that they can know him deeper, that they can rely on him, that they can keep going on through life without Jesus having to be there, you know, kind of pushing them along in the right direction, that he can have that relationship with God. And he knows that he was able to be close to the Father, and the world is not able to really connect with the Father. But now, now that he has given them that, they can continue in that. And that's what he really wants. He wants them to be unified with each other and to be unified with God. So into the next section of verses, still praying about the disciples here. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that you may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So the next thing here Jesus highlights is the disciples' separation from the world. If you take a step back into the previous scripture, Jesus is saying that he will remain in the world no longer, but they're still going to have to be there. They're still going to have to be in the world. But that doesn't mean that they're not to be separated from it. So what he says there, what he says in this passage is that he doesn't want God to take them out of the world. Their purpose is to be in the world, to do things there. They have purpose among the people of the world who don't know God because they have been taught who God is. So they have that purpose, but Jesus, of course, knows the temptations of this world. You know, who is in the world? Satan is the king of this world. And so that he knows that that's going to come and that's going to be hard for them. So he's praying about that, you know, that you protect them from the evil one. And so the second thing that Jesus talks about here is about sanctification. So I was kind of curious, like, we've got this word sanctify. It's kind of a big word even in English, kind of, you know, we kind of know what it means. So I wanted to look back, okay, what's the original Greek word here? So the Greek word is up there, which I'm not going to pronounce because I don't want to embarrass myself. But what it means is to make holy. So holy, we kind of understand, you know, it's being like God, being like that. And it also means, one of the other things is to regard as special or sacred. And so in that, we can kind of think, okay, it also kind of means being set apart, being special, being having a special purpose that God has given them because we're trying to be like God, be holy. So he wants the disciples to be sanctified. But really, what's the only way that any one of us can be sanctified? That's through Jesus' sacrifice. So first, he had to be sanctified. He has to do that first before we or before the disciples or even further on us can be sanctified. He had to go through that, and he was ready to do that. He's, you know, sanctified them by the truth, and then I'm going to sanctify myself so that they will be truly sanctified. So he's going to show them what the truth is through his sacrifice, and then they can then be sanctified, which is really what it's all about. That connection with God that we can now have because Jesus, you know, set that foundation for us through his sacrifice. So, moving right along into the last section already. So this is where Jesus prays for all believers. I think this is kind of the coolest part of this whole section. We can learn a lot about Jesus, what Jesus thought about himself, what he was struggling with. We can learn a lot about what Jesus thought about the disciples, the people that were closest to him. But in reality, we're all trying to apply this to our own lives. And when we look into what Jesus prayed about us, about the people who would eventually believe in his name, it's really poignant. We can learn a lot from what Jesus has to say about you and about me. So, looking into that, verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So, as Jesus is praying here, he prays for us, like I just mentioned. And then the next thing he prays for is for our unity. He prays that we can be one as Jesus and the Father are one, which is, you know, a very important thing for our church to be a part of that, to really be devoted to the unity that comes. And again, it's imitating Jesus' relationship with God. Why do we want to be unified? We want to be unified because God and Jesus were unified. You know, we can look back into the, you know, the kind of big thing that we kind of call that, which is the Trinity. We can see that that is what gave, you know, Jesus and God this power. You know, they had this power because they were one. They were together. They did things together. Jesus then went out from that and accomplished many great things because he was unified with God and in his purpose. And then the next part of our purpose, the reason we want to be so unified is because there's a world out there that needs to be brought to belief. Jesus knew that this would be their purpose. He knew that that was what the whole goal of what he was trying to accomplish was, that he would be able to deliver this message to the disciples, who would then be able to deliver it to the whole world. And if we're not unified, we can't deliver that message. We can't know exactly what it was. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that all believers would need to be unified eventually, especially his disciples, you know, starting that foundation. But then, again, through all the ages of the church, which we're trying to, you know, really trying to kind of foster here as well. So the next scripture I'm going to look at one scripture by itself. That's because, for some reason, when I was, you know, preparing for this class, I really keyed in on this scripture, and I liked what it says. I was reading the commentary, and it just, like, had a lot of profound meaning for me. And I dove really deep into it. So, I guess I had some scriptures up here about the world, talking about that. But, so, we'll look at that really quick. How about that? So, in verse 6, I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. So that the world is a place that we all have to come out of. You know, Jesus, his disciples had to come out of that world. He had to bring them out in every way. You know, each of us has to be brought out. You know, those disciples had to be brought out so that he could teach them about God. Because in the world, God is not in the world at all. Verse 13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. So, Jesus came into the world, you know. He showed us what it was like to live a godly life, and he showed them what it was like to have the joy that a connection with God has. And that's, you know, that's something really important. He was able to show it to, this part is still praying for the disciples, he was able to show it to those disciples while he was here, and they were able to see it, you know, the joy that Jesus had, the, you know, the fulfilling life that Jesus had because he was so connected with God. But that, you know, the world is not a place where that is. You have to kind of get, you know, he had to kind of come into it to foster that. Previously, that, you know, the Israelites and even the Jews in that day weren't getting it. So Jesus had to come there. Verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. I mentioned this a couple of minutes ago, that the world is a place of evil. We have to be set apart from it. And even though we're not going to be taken out of this world, you know, right away. When we get baptized, God doesn't just suck us up into heaven like Elijah. But he does, you know, he does have a purpose for us, and so we have to be set apart. And so Jesus is really desperately praying that God protects them from the evil one. So then I come back to here because I was talking about that. Now we move on to this scripture. So this next scripture, what it says, verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. So this scripture, the very first word, it says, I want. But as I was reading the commentary, this guy's commentary is from a long time ago, so he uses the King James Version. And I saw down here in the King James Version where it says, I will that they also, that they would be where I am. So I was kind of curious, like, why does it say will when it says want up there? It's kind of like somewhat different, like imposing his will to make sure that that happens. And then I can also compare want and desire. Desire is a little bit stronger. It kind of tells you what it means. So I looked again at the Greek word, which is ephthelo. And this Greek word means to wish or desire, to want that. But even more than that, it kind of implies There's a little implication here that because someone is ready and willing to act. So he has this desire, and he's ready to do what it takes. He's ready to do what it takes to accomplish that. Jesus knows that these people need to be with him where he's going. Be with him in heaven. Be with him in spirit. Be with him in the truth. He knows that that's their purpose, And so he's ready to do what it takes. He's ready to go to the cross. And then the other thing, you know, this word that means to desire has a lot to do with faith, has a lot to do with desiring that people can be persuaded to faith. And so Jesus, that's what Jesus wants here. He wants us to be persuaded to faith so that we can join him one day. So the next thing I, you know, was wondering, you know, this word in the New International Version is very, again, it's a very simple word. It says to see his glory. But, of course, I don't really think that means, like, physically with our eyes, because we can't see Jesus and we can't see heaven while we're here. So I was kind of wondering about that. And then the King James Version, it says behold. So it's kind of a little more powerful, like a little more, like, you know, in awe of God. So I looked up the Greek word for that. And this one is theario. And so this Greek word is to gaze on, to contemplate about, to really look at. And the word that I keyed in on here is experience. So as we're seeing this, as we're looking at it, we can kind of experience the glory of God that Jesus wants us to see. It's kind of down here. It's the root of the English word theater. So if you think about that, maybe some of us have seen a play, which is kind of that's the origin of that word. But even more so, all of us watch movies and see those and experience, you know, kind of the full breadth of the movie and the images and the scenery and all of that and the feelings that come inside of us because of those things. So you can kind of think here what exactly Jesus was wanting us to see in his glory, what he wanted us to come be with and to see. You know, so it's that deep desire, and you know, this glory that he wants us to see is what Jesus had with God before the creation of the world. So if we think, you know, if we think a little bit about that, it's kind of an interesting thing, because he wants us to see the glory that he had with God before the creation of the world. Like, how can we kind of see that? Because that's, you know, something that happened so long ago. But it's because that glory comes from the connection that Jesus has with God. They had great power together, and they understood each other, and they could really do great works because of that. And so what God wants us to see, what Jesus wants us to see and experience, is, again, that connection with God, the love that they had. And love in this sense, I made sure, it's agape love. It's that love, that sacrificial love, the love that comes from a deep bond between two people. If you look up that word, that's the Greek word, just so everyone's clear on that, if you hadn't heard that before. But the Greek word here, there's several different types of love that they use in the Greek. And this is the strongest, the one that has the deepest bond, the one that, you know, willing to do anything for that person is essentially what it's saying. That close relationship that Jesus is really, really hoping that we can have. You know, finally, it's finally Jesus kind of final two scriptures. What it says is, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. So the final thing again that Jesus wants us to have is knowledge about God that comes from Jesus. So Jesus, again, is our intermediary. He's the one, and it's very clear kind of in the way that he's been describing it throughout this prayer that, you know, he's talking about that you have that love for me, and you are in me, and then I am in them. And so because they can understand me, they can now understand you. So that's kind of the real connection there that Jesus is trying to help us to get. And when we're talking about this prayer, one thing, you know, I wanted to mention is, like, Jesus is really saying these words, and he's saying all of these things, and with the implication that his disciples are there. This isn't some prayer that he's walked off to the side, kind of like in the Garden of Gethsemane, to be by himself. This is something that he's kind of saying. And it seems like the disciples are there with him. It seems like it's not like in the Garden of Gethsemane necessarily. He goes to that a little bit later, right after this. But this is, you know, a prayer that we're all meant to hear. And so, of course, John remembers it and records it and writes it down for us to see. So that's, you know, he's letting them know that, you know, that this connection is meant to be through him. And he's, you know, I know you and I've made them known to you. And so we can listen to Jesus' words and know who God is. And then the next thing is that knowledge only comes, again, through love and through unity. Jesus repeats it again, you know, knowing that the love, he wants us to know the love you had. The love is key to that knowledge of God, because, you know, elsewhere in the scriptures it says that God is love. And so when we want to know about God, we want to have that love, that deep connection with God that kind of allows us to do the things, you know, give the purpose that we're meant to have, being unified with each other and being unified, you know, in that, being unified with God. And that's kind of the only way we can truly be unified is through that love, right? I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, in the church, there's a lot of people, you know, you're trying to help. There's a lot of people who, you know, you're struggling through things and then they're struggling through things. You hurt each other and all of that. Just like, you know, Steve's been talking about a lot with our relationships. It's a tough place to be. And so God knows, you know, that love is the key to that unity. We want to foster that love for each other. The love that's willing to go to these places that we sometimes don't want to go to. The place, you know, really challenging people, or, you know, being open with people, being vulnerable so that we can change and so that they can grow in the way that God wants us to. And so with that, you know, there's another scripture that John wrote in one of his letters that really, you know, tells us, you know, that we, as I highlighted earlier, that the way to show that we love God, that we know God, is through obeying his commands. And so John says that in his message. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. So we know that that's how we know it. It's like, if we really know God, we'll do what he says. If we really love God, we'll do what he says. And so that's another key part about this. And so just to kind of recap everything we've talked about over this, the first thing we kind of looked into with Jesus and all of that stuff is that all glory belongs to God. It doesn't matter kind of what we're trying to accomplish, what's going on in our life. And Jesus knew that. He knew, okay, I'm going to have to suffer, but it's okay because God is going to take care of that. He's going to glorify me through that. I'm not going to be ridiculed and thrown into despair. I'm going to be glorified, and through that, God is going to be glorified, which is the most important thing. And then the second thing, you know, in his prayer to the disciples, you know, Jesus gives us the knowledge of God. You know, it's not, we're not able to do it on our own. We're not able to understand it on our own. We have to see Jesus' words. We're not just going to get what's going on here in the, you know, in this world and be able to do the right things, make it to heaven. We need Jesus. We need his sacrifice. We need his words. And we need him talking to God for us. You know, kind of, he understands God and he understands us. So it's a really important thing. You notice I pointed down because we're much lower than Jesus there. But as I was saying that, you know, Jesus, it's we reach up to Jesus and like allow him to make us more like God. Have that relationship with him so that we can have a relationship with God. And the last thing, the world can believe through Jesus' message. So if you know, Jesus is praying for this thing, that the world may believe through the message I have given the disciples. He's praying for that. You know, he wants that to happen. He wants them to pass on that knowledge. And the cool thing is, that's exactly what happened. You know, Jesus prayed for that and God fulfilled that. You know, as soon as Jesus left, the apostles were given the power. They preached the word and many people started being added to his number. And that continued to today. We're sitting here still talking about Jesus' message. We're still talking about this prayer that he had. So we can draw strength from that. As we're thinking about the people we're trying to reach out to, we're trying to give Jesus' message to the world, and the world seems in despair. They seem like they're focused on all the wrong things. They're, you know, living all the wrong lives, and they just don't seem to get it. And you really care for some of these people because they're your friends or they're your relatives, but they're going the wrong way in their life. God is still able to do that. You know, Jesus' message is that powerful. I mean, you look at yourself. You were once in the world, and those disciples were once in the world, and, you know, we're still talking about what the impact they had today. And so Jesus' prayer came true, and it's still coming true, and it still will come true. So we can really focus on that. So as we close out, let's pray. Dear God, I do thank you for this prayer that you made sure was recorded in the Bible, God. I thank you for Jesus' words, that they can really strengthen us, give us hope for the lost world that we're in, for the lost people that we all were, and some, you know, for the things that we do, God, that are against you. I'm just so grateful that we can really hold on to this. Pray that we'll continue to study your word deeply, to really want to understand what it says, want to understand what you want us to understand. Pray that I can be unified with the brothers, that, you know, and the sisters, that the church will just be unified under you, and that we can all glorify you through that. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.